Grace, mercy, and peace be given to you from God the Father and our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I would like to link together that Old Testament text with a word from the book of Acts, chapter 17, the Apostle Paul's great sermon in Athens. He made from one every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. In the name of Jesus, dear friends, who commissions us to carry the gospel into all the world. The church of today is in deep trouble. Do I need to remind you of that? The world is in deep trouble. Our seminaries are in deep trouble. And being part of our seminary here for this term just reminds me once again of the gigantic, impossible task God lays upon us who teach, and you students who learn, that in such a short time, we need to try to mold each other out of our prejudices, our linkage to our local churches, all of which want to go on too much day by day, business as usual, rather than step out in faith and find a new way in a radical new day. I think we'd all lose hope if it wouldn't be for the fact that with this impossible task, our God is the God of the impossible. Back there in the time of Israel's captivity, he did the impossible and took his helpless, hopeless people out of that foreign land known to us today as Assyria, as Iraq. Once it was Assyria, once it was Babylon. And those people who had no hope but to hope in the pastoral heart of God found their hopes answered. Part of our task here is to remind those of us who are pastors to keep cultivating our pastoral hearts, even though we're far away sometimes from the troubles of the local congregation. And we who learn must seek under the Holy Spirit to develop that kind of pastoral heart. The heart expressed in Isaiah 49 that says, how could a mother forget her children? But there are so many other children besides the children of Israel. And that's one of the sharp new facts of our time, because this text from the book of Acts tells us that God is moving peoples with his own purposes in mind. He made from one every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation. Are you aware that we are seeing some of the greatest people movements in this century that has ever happened? Last year, I taught two different teaching stints in East Africa. When I got on the plane, August 18th, one of those long, dreadful days that you start out right after midnight on August 18th, which happened to be my 62nd birthday, 27 hours later, landed in Los Angeles. Every empty seat on that plane was taken up with Somalis. I counted them, 42. Two women were pregnant. Assuming that they each had one child who lived, that meant that on August 18th, the Muslim population of the United States of America increased by 44. When I left Kenya on November 18th, again, every empty seat was taken by Somalis, and I was told that this pattern had been happening since May, June, July, August, into November yet. There were about 40 Somalis on that plane. We parted ways in Amsterdam. They all went to Toronto. The Muslim population of Canada increased by 40 Muslims on that day. Yes, Islam is growing in this country, and perhaps it is the fastest growing religion, but it's not growing at this stage by Americans becoming Muslims. It's growing by virtue of the immigration that's coming in. I would assume you all know at this stage in your educational experience that Somalia is 100% Muslim country. The first missionaries I met who had worked in Somalia, 1972, they had just all been kicked out. They were Mennonites. About 10 years later, they were all invited to go back into Somalia. A few years later, they were all kicked out again. No one knows what this new initiative, spurred by the United States to send rescue teams to feed people into Somalia, what this is going to do for the openings of mission in that land. Whether we're going to be better friends or worse friends with Somalia when this thing is all over. But one thing is certain, that thousands and thousands of Somalis have come to North America. Thousands and thousands have gone to Europe. And these people are now in atmospheres where if anyone will take the initiative, as God took the initiative to us, to reach out with hands of welcoming friendship and hear the gospel and have the freedom to believe and accept it. But here again is where we're in deep trouble. Have you been keeping up with the attitudes of Mr. and Mrs. Average American about this immigration taking place? This is the August 9th issue of Newsweek. Lead article, Immigration Backlash. I think you'd be surprised and ashamed as I move around this country and Europe to see how much this idea of why don't these people stay there, we don't want them, they're ruining our economy, they're ruining our health system, they're ruining our schools, forgetting that we ourselves are immigrant peoples to this land, forgetting that the scriptures lays upon us again and again to reach out in hospitality to the stranger, remembering that you were once strangers in Egypt. In this radical new day, as God is moving peoples around, He expects us, His pastors, to be pastors also to these people. I don't begin to know what all the answers are. Does it mean that some of us are going to have to learn the Somali language? Does it mean that we're going to have to tap our wives on their shoulders and say, "Wives, you have to be in this mission alongside us"? That's one strange part still of Muslim culture. For us men to step through the door of that house without the man being there, totally forbidden by cultural ruling. And if we're serious about reaching the Muslim world with the gospel, it means that our wives or other women that God is going to raise up have to be the ones to take God's initiative to the women. I don't know what this means to the churches in San Diego. San Diego happens to be one place where all of a sudden a lot of empty apartments are being taken up by Somalis. For the Somalis themselves, they feel like the forgotten peoples of Israel. You know, it was strange coming on those two plane flights. For some of those people coming out of nomadic situations in Somalia, when this neatly packaged airline food was passed around, they didn't begin to know what you do with it. And I heard one woman ask her husband, "Is this halal? Is this permitted food that we can eat?" Some couldn't eat it. It had such strange tastes to them. Some of these people had never used a bathroom before they got to that airport. And now here they are, some of them educated people like ourselves, put away into empty apartments. All they have is little handouts from the government, no furniture except the cable television set. That's the first thing they buy, often because they can't get work. The wife is able to pick up some little part-time jobs. That turns everything upside down in the family because the husband is supposed to be the provider, and new husband-wife tensions come in. Who are God's people? We're going to take these people by the hand. Love them with the same love with which God loved us. Be Emmanuel to them, God with them. As we look at this situation, I ask you again to focus upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to be one among us. He came to take our guilt, our shame, our prejudice, our difficulties of getting along with others. He nailed them to the cross to free us to begin loving one another to begin with, and to become a forgiving fellowship within and among ourselves, and then excited by the freedom that God gives to move out with an initiative to touch others with that love. I'd like to just close by quoting this book, Urban Mission, Craig Ellison. Some of you have looked into it. Ralph Covell, recently retired head of missions at Denver Seminary, quoted on the initial page, "The urban crisis is God's provision to the church to test our integrity, to force us to be honest, and to keep us from congratulating ourselves for a ministry abroad that we are loath to practice at home." God is moving the peoples of this world around. May He move us to embrace them in His love. Amen.